CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. A success and a failure. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. It's rocket science. Things go wrong. But, Bob, a very good evening to you. We have a report that ULA's Vulcan rocket worked. What is the significance of that? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The Vulcan rocket was ULA's attempt to come up with a new rocket that would be less expensive and quicker to launch to compete better with SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket. And they proposed this rocket back around 2017, and it was supposed to launch in 2020. It's 4 years behind schedule. It was 4 years behind schedule, mostly because Blue Origin was very late in delivering the two BE-4 rocket engines used on the first stage. Well, they finally got those delivered, and this week, ULA finally completed the very first launch of the Vulcan rocket. And, a first launch, it doesn't necessarily going to work, but it worked. Everything worked perfectly. And for the ULA, this is a big deal, John. It's a very big deal. First of all, they need to get two launches off before the Space Force will certify this rocket for future military launches. And they have contracts with the Space Force for a number of launches, but they can't do those launches and make any money from them until they have done two complete successful launches. So this has completed half that requirement. That's a big deal. The second launch will take place in April, putting up Sierra Space's Dream Chaser Tenacity shuttle. And so if they get that, they can start doing military launches. It also positions the contract to begin the many launches it has in contract with Amazon to put up its Kuiper constellation of satellites that's going to compete with Starlink. It also will likely lead to the sale of ULA. There's been a lot of rumors that ULA is now up for sale. It was very clear that sale would not proceed until after that first Vulcan launch to show that the rocket is operational. There have been a lot of rumors. The company itself is a partnership of the launch divisions that existed in Boeing and Lockheed Martin to make one company. And any purchase here is going to really significantly reshape the launch market. Now, there's been a lot of rumors who the buyer will be, but we really don't know at the moment, and we have to wait to see. But this launch now sets us up for that purchase. For Blue Origin, the launch was significant because it proved their BE-4 engine, years behind schedule, works. However, it still remains unknown whether Blue Origin can manufacture these engines on an assembly line basis. Each Vulcan launch requires two engines. ULA plans to do at least six launches in 24, maybe more. They actually want to try to do as many as 25 launches a year. Blue Origin itself wants to begin launching its New Glenn rocket, and that's going to require seven engines per launch. This means that this year, at a minimum, they probably have to produce somewhere around 12 to 20 engines this year. And it's unclear that Blue Origin can do this. I have information that says they've already delivered flight-worthy engines for this next Vulcan launch, but we still don't know if they can do this steadily, and that's going to be a big deal.
A question about Vulcan rocket. Yes. Does it return the way the SpaceX Falcon 9 does?
No. At present, there is no reusability. It is totally expendable. ULA has talked from the beginning that they want to make the engine section of that first stage returnable. They wouldn't return the whole first stage, but the engines would detach and then come down and be recovered and reused. It's a very complicated plan, which doesn't really make much sense, and they haven't really done a lot of work on it. They always said they were going to introduce it incrementally as the rocket became operational. Hadn't become operational. Now it's becoming operational, so maybe they'll start doing that work. But nope, it is not. In a truly competitive market, this rocket wouldn't be able to compete with SpaceX. But because Amazon, founded by Jeff Bezos, does not like SpaceX, until very recently, it had sent all its contracts to ULA, to Ariane Space, and to Blue Origin, none of whom had launched their rockets yet. It's now given a contract to SpaceX, but the point is that because of that, other components in the competition, this company could get launches and contracts for this more expensive rocket, and it has. It has a lot of contracts down the road.
All right, now for the failure part, the Peregrine Lunar Lander. What is that?
This was the main payload on the Vulcan rocket. It's a privately built lunar lander by a company called Astrobotic. It's part of NASA's program to hire private companies to provide lunar landing capability. It's one of two that are going to be trying, that we're going to try to land this spring. Now, Astrobotic is a failure, unfortunately. It got deployed by Vulcan. Everything seemed to be going good. And then suddenly something went wrong with its propulsion system and it lost most of its propellant. We don't know the details. It does appear the spacecraft was out of control for a short bit, but they have retained communications. They've even gotten one photo from it, which does show some damage. Based on this, it's not going to land on the moon. In fact, it's still in Earth orbit. I'm not sure they have the fuel to get it out of Earth orbit. They're looking at that right now. I'm betting they're trying to see if they can at least get it to the moon, if not land it. But I don't think they're going to be able to do that. And so that's a failure. The company, the idea here, this was a smaller version of their larger Griffin lander, which has the contracts with NASA as well. The idea of this mission was basically an engineering mission to test landing on the moon. A failure would not have been a surprise or a problem because it's an engineering test. You know, you learn from your failures. The problem here is that the failure occurred so soon, they don't get to test any of the landing technology or controlling the spacecraft from lunar distances. They basically got stuck in Earth orbit with the problem. If they can get it out of Earth orbit, that would be a major achievement. It would help them get some of this engineering work done. But until that happens, it's an unfortunate, it is really a failure because they don't really get to do the engineering testing they wanted to do.
And so what we have here is a disappointment for private space. Is that correct, Bob?
Yes, but not entirely. There were other payloads on both the rocket and the Peregrine lander. One of those payloads on both was human ashes remains sent into space by private companies, two different private companies. Some of those ashes were on the upper stage of the Vulcan rocket. That stage has fired its engine, is now in solar orbit, so that's the complete, that payload success. Those remains are now in solar orbit and will be there for all eternity, pretty much, and that was the goal. The remains that were on the Peregrine lander, they will not get to the moon. In fact, they're probably not going to get in, out of Earth orbit. That spacecraft, if it eventually is stuck in Earth orbit, it'll burn up. If they can get out of Earth orbit, that will be an achievement. It'll be in at least solar orbit. But so there is some success here, though. It is in terms of private enterprise. Private enterprise. The most important success, of course, is ULA's Vulcan rocket for private enterprise. But there has been a failure, no doubt about it.
Rocket Lab. What is that, Bob?
This is more private enterprise. Rocket Lab is a small sat rocket company. It's got a small rocket called the Electron. It does not compete directly with SpaceX because it launches very small satellites. But it also builds satellites. In fact, this company has really tried to make itself an all-in-one company. It not only builds satellites, it launches rockets, it sends payloads into planetary space even. So they've been awarded a $500 million contract from the Space Development Agency to build 18 satellites for the military, each tranche communication satellite constellation. This is the third iteration of that constellation. They keep sending them up in groups, and this will be the third group, and launch in 27. The contract does not include, apparently, the launch contract. So Rocket Lab could launch some of these satellites, though the Space Force has used SpaceX and others to do so. But Rocket Lab, once again, is expanding its capabilities. It's not only launching rockets, it's building satellites as well.
And Rocket Lab is, in addition to SpaceX, the big success story of these last years. Blue Origin has yet to prove itself.
Yes, there were a bunch of different new rocket companies besides SpaceX. Rocket Lab was the first that was very successful. It's been firing rockets up since 2017. There are others as well. Blue Origin is nowhere. We don't know where Blue Origin is. The new Glenn rocket is supposed to launch this year, but then it was supposed to launch in 20 and 21, 22 and 23 and didn't. So we'll have to wait and see how they do. They are the biggest disappointment in the bunch because they have big money. They're not short of capital, and yet they couldn't.
The reason I make a to-do about this, Bob, is that there will come a day when there'll be consolidation in the booster business, just like there was consolidation in automobiles and trucks 120 years ago.
Yeah.
And Rocket Lab will be a winner when it's consolidated.
Yeah, you got a point, John. The successful companies here will end up be the ones eating the smaller companies at some point. There was one of the rumored buyers of ULA was Blue Origin. It was a lot of speculation that maybe Blue Origin will buy ULA, and instead of having to build its rocket endlessly and not achieving it, they'll just buy a company and have a rocket. I don't know if that's going to happen. There are a lot of other rumors that I think are more reliable, but Blue Origin, you know, they've got a lot of assets. They spent a lot of money on factories and equipment and hardware. They haven't assembled anything yet. So if someone wants to buy it, that would be good. But, you know, Jeff Bezos is going to want a lot of money to buy it. So
well, somebody's going to be General Motors. Somebody's going to be Ford, and somebody's going to be Chrysler. And we'll see in the fullness of time. We move to the Artemis program. This is big space. This is the U.S. rolling the dice to return to the moon. And what do you know, Bob?
This is news. Breaking story, except it's the same breaking story, John. We've been talking about SLS and Orion now for more than a decade. Two different news outlets this week, citing anonymous sources, say that NASA is about to announce further delays in the Artemis program. They're talking about the first next mission, the second mission, which is the next. The first would have humans on board. It's supposed to launch later this year, but they're now saying it's going to be delayed to 25. I've been saying it's going to be delayed to 25 now for about a year and a half. But it appears that NASA is going to admit that fact. The third mission, which was supposed to be the intended landing on the moon, is going to be delayed probably till 26. And there's also rumors that it will not be landing on the moon, that NASA has been thinking about shifting the landing to the fourth mission to give them, quote, more practice before making the first such landing in half a century. That mission is not going to happen in 26 either, and I've said this before. Shifting the dates, the launch to the landing to the fourth launch actually makes sense because NASA's taking great risks with this program because they're flying it without a lot of test procedures. The SLS rocket is so expensive and cumbersome to put together that NASA can't afford to do a lot of test missions. So they've been trying to push manned missions on it very early in the program, and that's a concern. So a delay will work. Either way, NASA's procedures here is always to announce delays in tiny increment amounts, but we can already predict right now that this launch is not going to happen in 25 and 26, these launches. They're going to probably happen years beyond that. And in fact, if they get to the moon, land on the moon before 2030, NASA will be doing very well. The delays, however, are not because of, are partly because of NASA's management and partially because of the bureaucracy in the federal government. One of the things that's causing the delay is the intransigence of the bureaucracy with Starship and SpaceX. They need Starship to land on the moon. It's a lunar lander. But SpaceX wanted to do six launches a year, test launches. They can't get more than one or two done a year because of the bureaucracy and the red tape. That's a major delaying factor. There's also been problems with the Orion capsule that are causing delays. This program is going to continue to get delayed multiple times, John. Like I say, if they can get a launch to the moon by 2030, landing on the moon with people.
All right, let's go right to the UK story, Bob, because that fits in with the regulatory regimen that slows down everything. You've noticed for some time that the UK has an apparatus that suits sailing ships. Has it been updated?
No, it hasn't. They have their bureaucracy is basically making it impossible for the two spaceports in Scotland to achieve anything. Both of them are now facing serious delays. They had another hearing in front of the UK Parliament this week in which CEOs of both the new rocket companies in the UK as well as the spaceports basically said there's too much red tape. To quote the CEO of the Saxaford spaceport on the Shetland Islands, there's almost too many cooks involved. I think we need to look at is having a senior politician directly responsible for space and space launch. Right now, it's difficult. It's difficult to know who's actually running launch in the UK. All of them have experienced significant delays in getting permits. This delays was what killed one of the main reasons Virgin Orbit was killed, because it took months to get a launch permit. And so they're now facing the possibility. One of the companies, Orbex, has a 50-year lease for the Sutherland spaceport, but they're already not happy with the situation. And there have been rumors. If UK doesn't straighten this problem out, they're going to basically lose the launch market in the United Kingdom.
And the UAE is building an airlock for Lunar Gateway, but the Lunar Gateway is indefinite in the future as well, correct?
Yes, but the NASA has signed this deal with the United Arab Emirates to build an airlock for the Lunar Gateway, as well as fly an astronaut, a UAE astronaut, to that Lunar Gateway at some point. So this is, once again, you're trying to make an international thing of the Lunar Gateway station. But once again, Lunar Gateway is nothing's been launched. And to get to the moon, you've got to have Lunar Gateway in position, and it's not even started yet.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.